Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery channel.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, it's Garbled Twistery. Welcome back. For the last several episodes, we've been talking about some in-between election year events, and we finally made it to 1796. An election year! You know what that means! Let's pull out the presidential roster for the steel cage match! This year's major contenders are John
versus
John
versus
Thomas
versus
Thomas
versus
Samuel
versus
Samuel versus James
versus
George
versus
Oliver
versus
Charles
versus
Aaron. There's a lot of candidates, man, like 11, so that means there's going to be 11 fascinating biography episodes starting with this one. So, who's on the menu today? A dude by the name of Charles Piccaninny. Oh, and the surname Piccaninny sounds exactly like what it is. A family of absurdly rich people who plant daffodils for a living. And Charles's family also has a real good track record of meddling in government affairs. His dad was the Chief Justice of South Carolina. His little brother ended up being the governor of South Carolina and a representative and a diplomat. His cousin also ended up being a governor of South Carolina and a senator and a diplomat. So yeah. Suffice to say, the Piccaninnies ain't no ninnies, all right. Anyways, as a wealthy family, they did what your typical wealthy American family does. They moved to freaking London. But I mean, the Piccaninnies didn't just move there to learn what the word posh means. No, they meant business. How so? Well, our Piccaninny's dad, who shares the same name, was in London because he was literally lobbying for South Carolina specifically. I mean, who would have thought South Carolinians liked Cadbury cream so much, am I right? And Father Charlie tossed our Charlie and his brother Tommy into the Fancy Pants Westminster, a boarding school, while the rest of the family moved back to South Carolina, effectively ditching the boys in boarding school and essentially following through with the threat you always hear being made to children in children's movies. I swear I'm gonna send you off to boarding school. So yeah, after that they went to fancy-pantsy Oxford University, and our Charlie went to law school, and everybody liked him so much that they just basically told him he could be a lawyer without any strings attached. But then he decided botany was his thing after all, because that's what a Piccaninny does, okay? So he went back to South Carolina and married some lady named Sarah, whose dad was the president of Continental Con or something. But yeah, she died pretty fast. So he married some lady named Mary, and apparently her family was a bunch of Madame Pomfrey planter people too. That's some cutest couple material. Bonus points, because he had 3 baby girls. But anyways, what was he doing back in South Carolina? You know, the usual aristocrat stuff. Studying law, being the local attorney general. Uh-oh, we hate England now. Looks like Piccaninny's gotta join the South Carolina Senate to help everybody be all independent or whatever. And of course, this whole hating England thing made everybody grab their guns, and Piccaninny's no exception. So he ended up becoming a freaking captain of Jorge's army, and on England's very first try to take South Carolina, he kicked them all in the tuchus. Successfully! So yeah, they let him be a colonel or whatever, and the tea sippers were literally scared of the South because of that battle, so they went up north to cause a ruckus there. And Piccaninny followed Jorge's peeps to Philly, and he got into some big fat gunfights at Brandywine in Germantown, and he made some new friends there as well. Friends like Alexander Hammy Tammy. And after all that mainstream battling, Piccaninny decided he ought to try and take the tiny piece of eastern Florida that the tea sippers took.
Wait, Florida?
Yeah. The British had a piece of Florida. Like 800 troops went up to General Howe and were all like, "It's too cold up here. Can we like conquer Florida or something? It'll just be a small piece, not Disney World, we promise." And Howe's response was like, "Sure, okay, whatever." And they were successful, because the army waiting for them in East Florida was literally 1/4 their freaking size. Anyways, Piccaninny wanted to take it back, and he started traveling south, and he stopped because he realized traveling all the way with his troops was turning into a logistical freaking nightmare! Like a logistical nightmare comparable to planning a trip to Magic Kingdom with your brunch buddies. Yeah, I went there. So yeah, the T-Sippers wanted to try and tackle the South again, so Piccaninny ended up doing a Marvel team-up with Benny Lincoln to try and take back Savannah, Georgia from the stubby T-Sippin' T-Sippers. Unfortunately, this was an epic fail. Like, 1,000 of the Patriots were either captured, hurt, or pushing daisies. And for the second issue of this Marvel team-up, Piccaninny was trying his best to help Benny Lincoln stop the T-Sippers from taking Charleston. As you may or may not remember from the Benjamin Lincoln episode, it didn't end well. In fact, it ended so horribly that Piccaninny was taken as a freaking prisoner of war. But maybe that was a good thing? Like, he was really good at being all motivational or whatever, and made sure that the other prisoners stayed salty and mad at England and stuff. But, yeah, they let him go and the peace talks were starting and stuff. Now that the Revolutionary War's over, Charles Piccaninny decides to be a lawyer. And he's one of the best in South Carolina. And he becomes one of the elite politicians. No, really, though. Like, Piccaninny and his brother became some of the most powerful people in the South Carolina bean. And when his friend, Eddie Rutledge, brother of Johnny Rutledge, decided that this whole enslaving people thing was stupid, Piccaninny was all like, quote, "Money doesn't have morals, and neither should we, for the well-being of South Carolina's economy." I know. Ew. And he was also leading the whole Americans should have a right to re-kidnap their kidnapped Africans club at the freaking Constitutional Convention. And he was pushing really, really hard to put that unconstitutional nonsense in the Constitution, and it worked! There was a whole fugitive slave clause in the Constitution. Thanks a lot, Piccaninny. Thanks a lot. So yeah, this guy's kind of a snake. Like, remember how I just said South Carolina took us handed to it in the Revolution? Well, I feel like this is precisely why Piccaninny didn't like the Articles of Confederacy and wanted a super strong centralized government. Because he knows South Carolina sucks at wars, apparently, and wants to rope the other states into his failure next time. Oh, and he hated poor people having any power whatsoever. Like, he didn't like the idea of a popular vote, and he didn't like the idea of senators getting paychecks for their service because they should be wealthy on their own. And despite loving slavery, he did play a part in ending the crazy international Atlantic slave trade and stuff. I doubt this was a change of heart and more of a U.S. keeping its money, since money seems to be at the very core of Piccaninny's every legislative action. So Jorge Washington sees this guy and he's all like, quote, "We've been on the battlefield together. I trust you. You want a job in the State Department or the War Department?" Piccaninny said neither. 1796 comes around and Jorge's like, "Hey, you want to get paid to go to France?" And Piccaninny's like, "Absolutely. I love eating snails." And this is the part where I put a dramatic "to be continued" on Charlie Piccaninny's story, because the election of 1796 is coming up. Can't say anything more. Sorry. If you got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, the power of love, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q at garbletwistery.net. Next time, we're taking a look at candidate number 2. His name, James Iredell.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
It's too cold up here. Can we, like, conquer Florida or something? It'll just be a small piece, not Disney World, we promise.